Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Friday, TGIF, June 11th, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How you doing today?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic.
Me too. I got a week off next week, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, that's great. That's fantastic. And
but you don't. You don't, because you'll be on the radio, and I'm going to come see you too, so there you go.
Well, I'm going to make you be on the radio. You have to be on the radio with me when you're here.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to go out and lay on the beach and, you know.
Okay. Okay.
We'll see. We'll talk it over.
Looking forward to it, and gold had a good day today. We had gold, a little pressure on gold, so not a good day, but it was a good day for buyers with getting a $21 discount, $1,877. Silver is down 4 pennies at $2,802. Platinum was down $5 at $1,152. Palladium looks like little to no change at 2,858. The USDX today was up 0.48 at 90.53. Crude oil was up 49 cents at 70.78.
Wow.
And paper markets today. Come on, paper markets. You have the Dow. Okay. I don't want to look at your advertisement. I want the market report here. Oh, how silly. Well, let's go here. I guess the Dow little changed at 34,480. The S&P was at 8 to the upside, 4,247. The NASDAQ was up 49 at 14,069. 10-year yield. That can't be right. 1.46. I'm trying to get to my other website, but it looks like it's not cooperating. So I don't, for whatever reason, looks like that site has crashed. So we'll go with the 146 on the 10-year yield. And nothing exciting in the European and Asian markets. So, you know, that's pretty much it. We're going to be talking a lot about a little bit of debt today. And it's just the pricing. Tin cans. Yeah, can you believe
Aluminum cans.
Aluminum cans.
Yep. That's going to put the price of the people that, you know, they go along the road, pick up aluminum cans and sell them, which is good. They take them up to the recycler. That's going to put their price up some, I'd say. They'll make more money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the good side.
I guess there's some good sides, but...
yeah, exactly.
But they get paid in those worthless dollars that don't buy anything.
That's true.
We're not really sure if that's a good thing or not. So that's the one thing. It always seems like the good side of things, but there's always a drawback when it comes to inflation. So anyway, what do you have? I know you have some happy-go-lucky stories for us.
I have a good one here to start with. And the reason I like this one is because I'm sure you've heard me quote Proverbs 17:22 before, but it says, "A merry heart worketh good like a medicine." Okay, that's what it says. A happy heart, a merry heart, laughter, basically, and it works good like a medicine. Well, guess what science finally discovered? Laughing gas can quickly relieve symptoms in people with hard-to-treat depression. The drugs aren't working, so they help them laugh. And it works. Imagine that. For some patients battling depression, standard treatments and therapies simply aren't enough. Now, a new study finds a mix of oxygen and bare-nose laughing gas can help these individuals quickly wave goodbye to the mental health issues. That's amazing. The Bible said it 4,000 years ago. Researchers from the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis say small doses of carless gas rapidly improve symptoms of depression in a single session. People who suffer from anxiety and depression, two of the most common mental health issues worldwide, generally take antidepressants to ease their symptoms. However, these medications can take weeks to take effect, with up to a third of cases resulting in no improvement at all. Not to mention side effects of them. A large percentage of patients don't respond to standard antidepressant therapies. The patients in this study had failed at average 4.5 antidepressant trials. And it's very important to find therapies to help these patients, says author Professor Charles Conway in a university release. That we saw rapid improvements in many such patients, and the study suggests nitrous oxide may help people with really, really severe resistant depression. Belly, isn't it amazing how something that God talked about long before we ever had scientists like this, that laughter, a merry heart, would do good like a medicine, not only physically, but it increases your, it makes you feel better mentally, all the way around. Isn't it amazing? Isn't God smart?
You know, he said laughter is the best medicine.
That's right. So they tried drugs, they wasn't working, so they got them to laugh a little bit, even though it took nitrous oxide. To get them to laugh, just the act of laughing can make you feel better. You've had days, I'm sure, that you've been frustrated, aggravated, and something kind of funny happened. You start laughing, it eases tension, doesn't it?
It certainly does. There's nothing better than to have a belly laugh, a good old belly laugh.
That's why I try to stay up and jolly, because that's what people, there's too many depressing stories, and I know they're real, we cover them, I preach on them, but I refuse to stay depressed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're blessed. I'm still breathing, I have clothes on my back, I have food to eat, a place to sleep, and if I find one die tomorrow, I still can't lose. I know where I'm going, so why not be happy? Why not enjoy your life? I don't mean that you overlook folks. I don't mean you get silly. I'm talking about just enjoying being around people you care for. When you're with them, love them and know it. And let them know it. That's important.
Yes.
So I just want to share that. And the next one I think is kind of, I don't want to even say this one. Now, folks, I'm not making this up. This is for real. China bans nose picking and spanking and moral panic over intimate online videos. Usually popular Chinese social media platform WeChat, which is heavily regulated by state authorities, has published a list of more than 70 common violations and indecency, including nose picking and spanking games. Wow, man, Melody, don't pick your nose on WeChat. If you do, you get banned from the WeChat. Mm. I mean, isn't that amazing?
It is.
I had to share that.
What's even more amazing, you know what's really more amazing than that?
What's that?
Is that we're actually talking about it on the program.
Well, you know, there's some things that are so stupid and so silly, you have to share because nobody's going to believe it. I mean, you know, China bans nose picking?
Mm.
Okay. That's getting pretty detailed, is it not?
It is.
But I thought I'd share that just in a way. See, again, that's getting a smile on your face. Getting a smile on your face. The rest of the news is kind of depressing. But that smile helped with the first segment anyway.
Okay.
Federal taxes, spending, and deficit all set records through May. No matter how much money they tax, Melody, they spend at least twice as much. When will the people ever learn the more they take, the more they spend? That's just the way it is. The federal government set new records in the taxes it collected, the spending it engaged in, and the deficit it ran through the first 8 months of fiscal 2021. This is according to the monthly Treasury statement. Federal taxes hit a record. Now listen to this amount. $2,606,879,000,000 were paid in federal taxes through that segment. But the spending was $4,670,688,000,000. A deficit of $2,063,789,000,000. Those are big numbers, Melody.
They certainly
are. Those
are
huge. So they collected record taxes of over $2.5 trillion, but they spent over $4.5 trillion. Mm-hmm. I don't think we gained a lot of ground, did we?
Doesn't seem that way.
How do you comprehend those kind of numbers? I mean, how does it make any sense to somebody that isn't a billionaire? How does it make any sense to you and I, folks, just common people? How do you comprehend paying over $2.5 trillion in taxes? I know we didn't do it personally, but how does that number get so big, and how do you comprehend it, and then spend over $4.5 trillion extra? That is amazing. It's just too big to have stink in your head.
Well, I mean, this whole numbers are meaningless anymore. So
they are.
So. And that's a sad thing, because they do have meaning, and there is a reality to them. And because what else do you have? I mean, if numbers go on forever and have no meaning, then nothing else has meaning either.
That's true. Numbers can go into infinity, can't they?
Yeah. I mean, how can things be valued? So, no, reality always wins. You know, reality brings everybody down to earth again, and it's like gravity. So, you know, it's just amazing how people, it just goes without thinking twice about it. Maybe they just think they can't do anything about it, But anyway,
as I said, it's hard to comprehend. I mean, we're looking at $2.5 trillion collected off of, what, 100 million people working? And now that's probably high. 300 million in the country, half of them retired, a third of them retired, maybe a third of them children. So we're looking at 100 million roughly.
Third of them on benefits.
Yeah, exactly. You're looking at that, not just federal tax. That's not counting the county tax, the state taxes, sales taxes. That's just what they collected in federal tax. Mm-hmm. What do you think it was altogether?
But it really doesn't mean anything, because all we're doing is servicing the debt. So
that's right.
So and on top of that,
we're paying the tax on called interest too, aren't we? I mean, inflation, aren't we?
That's servicing the debt. Yeah.
Yes, it is. We're in it. It's kind of like you're in it. You maybe get kind of accustomed to it. You don't even pay much attention to it. When you go to putting the numbers together, looking at it, it makes a big difference. At least in my mind, it does. Most people I know of are struggling. A lot of them, I don't say they're struggling. I'm having a hard time getting by. That's nothing to be embarrassed about. But you look at those kind of numbers and think that we're being taxed on that much money. That should maybe make us a little bit upset that they're spending kind of money that we don't have.
Hey, as long as they get some of that money that we don't have, I don't think it matters anymore.
I think you're right. Anything you want to add to those stories before we move on?
Nope.
Okay. Ransomware attack ruled meat giant JBS, then spilled over to farmers and restaurants. We knew this was all part of it, because it always comes back down to the consumer. While plants were closed, price of beef and pork climbed, and farmers sought new buyers for their livestock. Employees at the U.S. division of JBS, the world's largest meat company, noticed something wrong in their computer systems over Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial kickoff for the busy summer grilling season. The culprit, a ransomware attack, didn't just hit its target. It rolled the U.S. food industry from hog farms in Iowa to small-town processing plants in New York's restaurants. The hack set off a domino effect that drove up wholesale prices, backed up animals in barns, and forced food distributors to hurriedly search for new suppliers. The attack was the latest clash between cyber criminals and companies, integral to the functioning of the U.S. economy. And that's an important point, folks. The part of it, it's integral to the functioning of the economy, because it's food. If another disruption in the U.S. food industry after the COVID-19 pandemic last year forced weeks of plant shutdowns, and this year the economic rebound has stretched suppliers' ability to meet demand. So, that's a biggie. When you hit the food, you hit people right where it hurts. For a lot of reasons, they got to eat. Prices go up. Companies are I don't know, struggling to keep up with this. I don't know how they, when you pay a ransom demand, I can understand why they did it. I can understand, I really can. That was a big, huge food chain, just like the oil pipeline, if that really happened the way it did. But that just encourages Melody to do it again, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. You know, there was an article put out, I don't know who released this article, but it was about when Americans took to the streets over inflation. And I guess it's a Dow Jones article. And it's kind of interesting because they go back to 1966. There was protests because of the prices of food. There were supermarket boycotts were spreading. Well, in today's world, I don't know if anybody would boycott a supermarket, but the way people eat today. But marches and boycotts over food costs cropped up time and time again. People were aware of it. But after decades of basically the invisible inflation, you know, you do have many Americans have no or very little idea of what inflation really looks like. You know, you have half of the U.S. population was born after 1981. And that was the last year of the double-digit consumer price increases. So, you know, so you sort of had that little bit of a holiday of low inflation. But now these consumer prices are beginning to rise again. And the consumer price index rose 5% in May from a year earlier. This is the biggest increase in more than a decade. So
and that's conservative.
Yeah, that's conservative. That's government's numbers, not the real numbers. So it's kind of interesting. So, sometimes we can't figure out why no one's paying any attention. Well, it's because they were born after, you know, 1981. It wasn't that long ago. And they haven't experienced anything bad. You know, they haven't experienced problems like inflation. And so, which makes things probably a little more difficult that they'll have to deal with and a lot more volatile. So, kind of interesting.
I remember back in the 70s when we're taking off the gold standard, how inflation went through the roof and everything. You remember that too, I'm sure.
And well, and I read Nixon about. I don't remember what I read about it.
Okay, all right, good.
I'm only 39.
I keep forgetting that. And Nixon put price freezes on everything. You remember that? How you read
I do.
About it.
I do remember that. Well, you know, and again, there goes my age. Hey, we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TimUpRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And into the break, we were talking about inflation. This is a nice little article and relating back to the, you know, the 70s and what happened just in 73. You also had the OPEC where they were, you know, squeeze supplies in an oil embargo that targeted the West. And, you know, we had to go through that, the unrelenting inflation. So it's, yes, we came out of it. I mean, we're here today. Maybe to some degree people say, you know, why worry? But in the same breath, a lot of people lost a lot of their savings. They still lost. Families lost. And I think that's, Butch, we always have a, I don't know, do we just have a tendency to say that it's not going to be me or it's not going to affect me and, you know, and so what if it does? We'll deal with it at that point in time. And I don't know.
Well, you know, you said we came out of it, and we did. I guess we didn't starve to death. We're still here. But if you look at the reality of things, look at since 1971 what inflation has been and what the difference in price of goods are.
Yep.
Yeah, we come through it because with inflation we got pay raises, perhaps. We got, you know, what they so-called pay raises. But in the long run, we were making less now than we were then. If you count up dollar for dollar, we're making a whole lot less than we were then. Well, yes. Maybe we're living a lot of, let's just lay it on the line, people. We're living on credit a lot of times. Yeah, we got a nice home, we buy it on credit. We got a car, buy it on credit. I mean, that's how things work nowadays. Very few people pay cash for anything. That's not good at all. But the society runs on credit, Melody. The nation runs on credit. The dollar runs on credit. If credit quits, the dollar die. It has to run on credit, doesn't it?
It does. Absolutely. You're correct.
So, and as long that was, there was a time in the country when credit was exceptional. It didn't happen all that much. But now it's just a part of life. We buy on credit. We pay on credit. We don't even have real money to pay it with, but we do it on credit. We borrow money with interest that never gets paid back. Folks, this is amazing. We had really been sucked into a vacuum and a void that consumes about everything we make and more. Now that's the truth. But you look at the price, the worth of a dollar in 1971, and look at the price of a gallon of milk in 71, and then count that dollar's worth today, and a gallon of milk cost today.
Yeah.
And figure out how much money we lost. Yeah, we came out of it. We're still eating, but we lost ground.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Melody.
No, I agree with you, so. What's next?
I mean, that's just, okay. From beans to burgers, food is getting more expensive. Chipotle, Shake Shack, and Piggly Wiggly are all raising prices to cover higher costs. Now, folks, again, I said it and Melody said it. We will pay, the consumer will pay for the higher cost. They will not, the businesses cannot absorb it. They're in for a profit. We'll pay for it. Soup, Spam, and Shake Shack. Burgers are all getting more expensive as food companies pass along higher costs to consumers. General Mills, Campbell Soup, Unilever, PLC, and J.N. Smucker are among food makers raising prices at supermarkets. Restaurants including Chipotle Mexican Grill, CMG, Cracker Barrel, Old Country Store, have raised menu prices. Executives say they expect more price increases this summer as costs remain elevated for labor, commodities, and transport. Well, gas is over $3 a gallon, and soon looks like it could be up as high as $3.50 or maybe even $4 in some places. We're in a period of unprecedented commodity inflation, Unilever Chief Executive Officer Alan Jope told investors Monday. He said Unilever would recover some of those costs in part by selling smaller packages. Now listen to this. Of some foods at the same price as a larger size. Maybe that's happened before, hasn't it?
It has, absolutely.
That's happened before.
Happened in a while.
A box of cereal looks like the same size. There's less content in it. Mm-hmm. A package of bacon, for example, is now sold 12 ounces, not a pound. Folks, catch one of these things. Higher prices on grocery store shelves and restaurant menus are part of a broader rise in inflation. U.S. consumer prices surged 5%, as Melody said, in May, which I'll tell you, folks, I'm going to say it's at least double that, from a year ago to reach the highest annual inflation rate in 13 years. More expensive used cars and trucks fueled the increase, according to Labor Department data, and prices for furniture and airfare also jumped. Food prices are rising because of the higher cost for labor and transport, but also ingredients including corn, soybean, oil, and wheat. Rising meat prices got another bump last week when a ransomware attack briefly knocked offline JBS SA plants that process nearly a quarter of U.S. beef and a fifth of chicken and pork. And we'll get back to something else that's going to, it's going to break the food chain even more. Folks, it's happening right now, but I thought maybe you might want to add some comments to that, Melody.
Well, you know, when you mention about the prices are rising at these restaurants, you know, the Piggly Wiggly and, you know, all the chains and so forth, these are big corporations. And yes, they are going to pass all of those increases down to the customer. But the ones that really get hurt are like your smaller restaurants, your mom and pop restaurants, because you know what? They work one-on-one on people, and they will take a lot of the brunt. They will take a lot of it out of their own pocket, trying to keep it going, trying to keep the prices low, because they're the ones that really have to compete. And they're the ones that will end up closing their doors because they won't be able to. So not only are they being challenged by the rising price of food, but they're also going to be challenged by the minimum wage that's being forced upon them. So
that's right.
Your little restaurants are the ones that will really get wiped out. And we're left with all the chains that Lord knows, you know, where their food comes from and so forth. But, you know, well, there's a lot of good chains out there. Don't get me wrong. But so that's how I see it anyway.
Well, businesses, and I guess the socialists and communists don't think about this, but businesses don't make a profit. They don't stay in business. And they can't stay in business. So in the long run, that hurts everyone right down to the worker. Not only the consumer, but the people who work there. If they can make a profit, they don't have a job next week, do they?
That's correct.
It's just that easy, folks. Capitalism is the only way to go if it's real capitalism. Free enterprise, I guess you could say, is a better word.
Free markets.
It'll work. Yes, it'll work just fine if the government gets his hand out of it. But that's never happened that I know of for a long time. But we're talking about food shortages. This is, we don't think about this sometimes, but of course it affects food. Hoover Dam Reservoir hits record low in a sign of extreme western U.S. drought. This is out of Reuters. The reservoir created by Hoover Dam, an engineering marvel that symbolized the American ascendance of 20th century, has sunk to its lowest level ever, and underscoring the gravity of extreme drought across the U.S. West. Lake Mead, formed in the 1930s from the damming of the Colorado River at the Nevada-Arizona border, about 30 miles east of Las Vegas, is the largest reservoir in the United States. It is crucial to the water supply. Now listen to this, Mel. I did not know this. I know it was a lot, but not this much. 25 million people, including the cities of Los Angeles, San Diego, Phoenix, Tucson, and Los Angeles. 25 million people depend on that dam. At 11 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time Wednesday, the lake surface fell to 1,071.56 feet above sea level, dipping below the previous record low set back in July 2016. It's fallen 140 feet since 2000, leading the height of the Statue of Liberty from torch to base, exposing a bathtub ring of bleached white embankments. The drought has brought Lake Mead's gripped California, Pacific Northwest, the Great Basin spanning Nevada, Oregon, and Utah, plus the southwestern states of Arizona and New Mexico, and even part of the Northern Plains. Now, here's a part that's really what you think about. Farmers are abandoning crops. They can't water them. They just give up. That affects the farmer down the belly. It means he's not going to make any money. But also makes a shortage of food in the supply chain, doesn't it? That's what it means. Prices are going to go up.
That's correct.
So when farmers can't produce, we don't eat, at least not at a very cheap price. But farmers are banning crops. Nevada is banning the watering about one-third of the lawn in the Las Vegas area. And the governor of Utah is literally asking people to pray for rain. Firefighters are facing worsening conditions this summer after nearly 10,000 fires in California alone during last fire season burnt 4.2 million acres in an area nearly as large as Kuwait. And we don't think about the livestock and other things. We think about crops. That's great. But livestock use a lot of water. And without water, what do the farmers do with them? The cattle farmers do? They have to either sell them or something, and the price of wheat and grain is going up because the farmers can't raise it. It's a circle that affects everyone in that circle. And it stops at Piggly Wiggly as far as the final cost of it. So we'll see where it's going.
You know, when I lived out there, there was always the disputes between irrigation, the agriculture, and there was always fights between California and Arizona for those water rights to the Colorado River and so forth. So, I mean, it truly is amazing the amount of water that is supplied. So it's, it's where is it going to? I mean, it's in a drought. How is it going to replenish itself? And how long is it going to? And how long is it going to take?
Okay.
All right. We have a caller. We have Chris from California. We'd like to welcome to the program. Good afternoon, Chris.
Good afternoon, Mel and Butch.
How you doing, Chris?
I want to tell you about that. Pastor. I want to share something with you. There's so much prime water right under our feet, people aren't even aware of.
That's very true. Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Butch, for qualifying that. But, you know, I live in the mountains in California. I'm in a pretty good place. But I really want to get down to a southern red state. You can't blame me. Anyway, I have like-minded brethren that live down in Missouri or, it's just too humid for me to dwell. I can't dwell in a place like Florida. But I tell you what, Lord willing, I can, you know, it's all contingent on God. Butch, would you agree that God is sovereign?
Absolutely.
Completely?
Absolutely.
All right. You know, I have a bone to pick with you, Brian, brother. And it's this. If God is sovereign, and if this book was written from before the foundation of the world, I don't have a hand in my salvation, nor do I want a hand in my salvation, because as a depraved sinner, all I can do is mess it up. Would that be a true statement?
That part is true, but you know that's the choice is still ours, because it tells us in scriptures that let whosoever will come drink the water of life freely. It's your choice.
But nobody can when they're dead to begin with.
Dead spiritually. No, they're not. They're dead spiritually, but they still have their mind and their soul. So they can be reached.
Well,
that's why they call saving souls.
Well, anyway, I wanted to contend with you. And, you know, I got to share this with everybody. The definition of argumentation is not necessarily heated. Would you agree with that?
No.
Yeah, see, they don't understand argument. Argument is not necessarily heated. If you look up the definition of argumentation, it's not necessarily heated, but we've been led down a primrose path of understanding the term argumentation as such, and it follows.
Now, you learn from me. You can learn from each other. That's
absolutely.
The idea,
and iron sharpens iron, my brother. Iron sharpens iron.
But
you know what? You know what? You and I are a little bit opposed in regard to, I'm just a five-pointer. And the problem with the way I see it, I could be wrong, but I don't think so. The good Lord, the Holy Spirit, goes where it listeth. Yes?
Yeah, sure, true, yes.
Amen, right. Amen, brother.
All right, anyway, we appreciate the call. We appreciate the call, Chris.
Yeah, we do. We got back on topic. Good call, though, Chris. Good call. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Anyway, he's right about the primary water. It truly is there. That's been scientific fact, but that's not going to be brought up by the people that want to control the water supply and bill you for it.
That's right.
So, we'll move on from that. Let's go to another. You want to change topics, Dale?
Absolutely.
Okay. Nearly two-thirds of millennials have homebuyer regrets. And I can see the point what this article says, USA Today. In this hot real estate market, competition for houses often leads to quick purchases, which also can lead to buyer's remorse. Folks, you should never make an investment that big without thinking about it and praying about it. According to a recent Bankrate survey, 64% of millennials ages 25 to 40 are facing regrets after buying a home, compared with 33% of baby boomers ages 57 to 75. The survey found that the older the buyer, the less likely they were to have home buyer regret. One factor that may explain this divide is desperation. Home buyers are more likely to rush into a purchase, which can lead them to settle for properties that might not be to their liking. Factoring in the pandemic, the survey found that homebuyer regrets among millennials mainly fell into two categories, financial and physical. About 20% of homeowners listed high maintenance costs as their biggest regret, and that number jumped to 26% among younger millennials. Maintenance refers to anything in the house that breaks and needs to be fixed or replaced. And if you own a home, Melody, you're going to have maintenance, aren't you?
Yes, you are.
You're going to have it. And own a home does not come without responsibilities. If you want to keep the home up, you got to put money into the home. A home is an investment.
It's depreciating.
Yes, yes, it is. It is. So before you buy a place, don't be rushed, because you make a mistake, you might be stuck with it for a while. But a home is an investment. And you got to work to keep it up. But something about owning a home has always been, I guess, an American dream. And I guess that's changing somewhat now.
Well, I don't know. Is it? They call it as an investment, but everybody always expects their home prices to increase. But I mean, it really is a depreciating asset, because you have to continue to put money into it, and lots of times you always end
that's
up
true.
Putting more money into it than what you can sell it for. And I think what's dangerous is today is you're right, is the air of this competition in buying a home. And we'll just finish that up when we get back from a break. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. Just one more time.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're heading into the last segment of the program today. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And going into the break, we were talking about this new homeownership where people are beginning to feel desperate because they've made these purchases of homes, and now they feel they can't afford them and so forth. And when you really look at what's going on, you know, it really is a buildup by the real estate market. And sure, rates are low, but they've been low for a long time. And the thing of it is, but what it is, it's, have you ever been to an auction, Butch?
No, I never have.
You've never been to an auction?
Never have. Never been in an auction.
In West Virginia?
Well, I've been to cattle auction and stuff like that, but never a real estate auction.
Well, I'm not talking about real estate auction. I'm just talking about any auction. Because when you start bidding for something and then somebody else is bidding, you really get caught up into it. And you really end up paying for something that really isn't worth the price. You have a tendency to overpay because you get caught up in this bidding war. And that's what's going on in the excitement. And that's what's going on in these real estate market. You have people that are making these bids on these homes. And it's sort of like an excitement thing. And they're not thinking. The only thing they want is what they're bidding for. And so they just, you know, people will go higher and higher and higher. And the next thing you know, they get this object. They get this piece of real estate. And then it's buyer's remorse. But you can't get out of it. And so it's a psyche. It's human nature. And it's used all the time to create these bubbles. And I still don't understand how real estate agents make so much money when you think about it. When you're looking at homes that are valued, the median income is, you know, over 300 grand. It's a lot of commission. And but anyway, that's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about people that are getting into these homes with buyer's remorse now. But
you know that, and you said that it's a bubble. Housing bubbles have burst before, have they not?
As far as I know, all bubbles burst.
Oh, they do. And a lot of people who pay big bucks for homes found themselves upside down very quickly, didn't they?
Absolutely.
So, folks, do be careful. I'm serious. Be very careful. This article I thought was kind of interesting because it's the drug that could break American health care. Aduhelm, the first Alzheimer's drug in 18 years, may not work. But states and Medicare might pay billions of dollars for it anyway. Now, go figure that, Melody. Just think about that a second. It may not work, but we're going to pay for it anyway. Just like Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson. Yeah, we'll pay for it anyway. Earlier this week, the Food and Drug Administration overruled, too much criticism, its own scientific advisory committee and approved the Alzheimer's treatment at Aduhelm. I'm not saying it right. A-D-U-H-E-L-M. Aduhelm. The agency made this decision despite thin evidence of the drug's clinical efficacy and despite its serious side effects, including brain swelling and bleeding. As a result, a serious risk now exists that means that people will be prescribed the drug that does more harm than good. Oh, my. This is ridiculous. But so is the vaccine. Let's appreciate this, how the drug's approval could trigger hundreds of billions of dollars of new government spending, all without a vote in Congress or indeed any public debate over the drug's value. Aduhelm's manufacturer, Biogen, announced on Monday that it would price the drug at an average of $56,000 a year per patient.
Wow.
A figure that doesn't, Melody, they don't make that much here. The people's getting it. I mean, think about that. A figure that doesn't include the additional imaging and scans needed to diagnose patients or to monitor them for serious side effects. You're probably talking $89,000 a year at least. The federal government will bear the brunt of the new spending. The overwhelming majority of people with Alzheimer's disease are eligible for Medicare, the federally run insurance program for elderly and disabled Americans. If even one-third of the estimated 6 million people with Alzheimer's in the United States receives a new treatment, the health care spending could swell by $112 billion annually. And it's already in the hole by billions, if not trillions. It's already in the hole. Big time. But they're going to sell the drug at $56,000 per patient per year. Now, to show how frustrated some of the members of the FDA are getting, third member of FDA expert committee resigns over controversial Alzheimer's therapy decision. A third member of the Food and Drug Administration expert panel has resigned over the agency's contentious approval of an Alzheimer's therapy this week, a sign of a growing backlash over the decision. In a letter to Acting FDA Commissioner Janet Woodcock on Thursday, Aaron Castleham, who has served on the FDA's Advisory Committee for Nervous Systems Therapy since 2015, wrote that his approval of Biogen's Aduhelm was probably the worst drug approval decision in recent U.S. history. It is clear to me that FDA is not presently capable of adequately integrating the committee's scientific recommendations into its approval decisions, wrote Castleheim, the director of Brigham and Women's Hospital Program on Regulation, Therapeutics, and Law. He also cited the FDA's decision to approve Serapepta Therapeutics, this word I can't say, esteparism for Duchenne muscular dystrophy in 2016, under the recommendation of the advisory committee to its decision to quit it, not do it. So the FDA is not paying attention to the experts, so the experts are quitting. Now, Melody, isn't it going off kind of half-cocked, like it did with the vaccines, to put a drug in somebody that's not been proven yet, and use people for it as a guinea pig, and this is going to be in the oven? They said that it's a very thin chance it will work. We're going to do it anyway with all the side effects that causes. If nothing else, where's the common sense in this?
I mean, to me, I also believe that the problem is that the people who do choose to take it and so forth, regardless of the cost, they're never informed. Let the information out. Let people make their own choice instead of lying. Just like the pain medication that came out, the opioids. Oh, they were pushed that the people wouldn't be addicted to it. That they, this was the best thing since popcorn for pain and everything. And yet you can take one pill and become addicted to it. And they just lied. They lied to doctors. They lied to, they had these pharmaceuticals just pushing these opioids.
Oh, yes.
And look what happened. All righty. Hey, Butch, we have another call. We have David in Massachusetts calling us. Good afternoon, David.
I was listening to an earlier call. You were talking about, food and water. And there was something that I've been trying to do is... how farmers, ranchers, they're trying to shut them down. But around here, New England states, we also have, the fishermen. And I kind of sense that the same evil forces that want to steal the family farm are also the same people who want to sink the family fishing boat. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure out, all these different groups. I don't know if they talk to each other or... Yeah, but I think, farmers, ranchers, people who have orchards, the fishermen and so forth, we need to get together, because what we're really doing is, that saying I have from the flora, fauna, fishes, and fowls obtain thee thine food, that's the way the good Lord, intended for us. Adam and Eve, when he said, he didn't say, I give thee this chemical plant for thine food. He said, I give thee this, all these trees to be thine, these plants to be thine food.
That's true.
That's what people really need to. With all this modern technology, people forget, where everything comes from. What goes into making things.
That's true.
At least me, I know how to get food from just simple things like dandelion greens or purslane. I just collect off the ground. I can make a salad. I'd be out of my backyard at this time of year if I want salad.
That's
I don't
right.
go to a...
That's right. You can make medicine out of dandelion. It's good. It has good medicinal value in it. Also, it can be used for medicine. A lot of things can. Yeah. By the way, Dave, I love your accent.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
well, I can't understand either one of you.
Yeah. No, it's from the. Yeah. Well, enjoy your vacation next weekend. Hopefully, you'll have some good speakers on.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes, yeah, we will. I've already got that filled in. Yes, I've got that taken care of.
Yeah. I'll be this Glenn Pine. I'm going to be one of them.
No, you won't be on the next month. Debra Tavares will be on Monday night, though, so you'll have a good one there.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
All righty, David. Thank you.
Good call. Sweet guy.
You know, it's interesting. He made a point about, we've forgotten about just the plain old good old food that we have, the greens, the trees, and so forth. And it's kind of like even our investments. We forget about just the basics.
That's right.
We're so much better off if we're just in the basics, but we head off to all of these various investment programs and, some do well, some don't, but it's all by design instead of just sticking with the plain old basics of gold and silver.
True.
And so everything
just
in
like
life
God
is
invented
just,
the, yeah. God invented natural foods, he invented natural money called gold and silver.
Yeah, it's just the basics of life. It's just the basics, so...
I agree. I totally agree. That's a good point, Mel. I mean, really, we go out and go into the stores and buy all this stuff we think is food. It's been, as he said, chemicalized and changed and everything's added to it. Instead, going out and we offered a book this month in a program called Backyard Medicine. What a great little book. $14.95, and it's a great little book about all the things in your backyard and around your house you can eat or use some medicine. And it's everywhere. I mean, pine nettles, that's we get off topic of that, but pine nettles are good for a lot of things, and people don't even think about that. I didn't for years. I didn't know. But God made that for us to survive on and thrive on. He made real money for a purpose, something of value, to trade for something of value. Otherwise, we're committing fraud, even in the eyes of God. Now, let me move on if you are.
Red eye.
Okay, all right. Rupert Murdoch writes down value of Sun newspapers to zero. Now, this is something. I mean, they've been around for years. Rupert Murdoch has written down the value of the Sun newspapers to zero as the impact of COVID-19 pandemic helped to fuel the £200 million loss at the flagship tabloid tables. Advertising sale revenues at the Sun on Sunday plummeted, with turnover falling by 23%. Now, that's huge. But who was? I mean, we've seen newspapers go out now for a long time. Newspapers have fallen out of favor. They just aren't that popular any longer, it seems like, most places. But the Sun and the Sun's other newspapers, and Murdoch has been around for years, and now he's writing it off for zero. I'm guess he's telling the truth on that. So that's another one going, Melody. A bunch of them going.
Well, he's in an elitist, so I believe so.
I don't think he'll starve to death.
No, I don't think so.
Don't think so either. And this, I think, is really good. This is something supposed to have done years ago. Texas will build its own border barriers, Governor says. We have to step up and do more. And I agree. If President Biden won't build a border wall, then Texas will. And by the way, Trump didn't either. But anyway, Governor Greg Abbott said Thursday that his state will erect border barriers and easy crossing areas along the Rio Grande, and then start arresting and jailing illegal immigrants on state charges. The influx across the border is out of control, and the Biden administration has shown that it is not going to step up and do its job. Mr. Abbott told Breitbart, Texas, shortly before the border summit Thursday in Del Rio. The state plans mass arrests and more jails to back that up and send a message to illegal immigrants, the governor said. That is needed, and that's all well and good. But who's going to pay for the jails and to feed these immigrants while they're in there?
Gee, I wonder.
That's another good question, tricky question there. I mean, I agree, he's doing the right thing. It has to be done. But we can't afford to house them. What's going to do with them? We're going to put them back across the border so they can come back the next week? I don't have all the answers here. But I think it's going to take more than just putting them in jail 2 or 3 days and turn them loose. I think it's going to take more than that. How about 4 or 5 years at building roads in the state and earning their keep, so to speak? You know, let them know that if you come here, we'll give you a job,
but
you're
going to
be swinging a sledgehammer and beating rocks.
They still have to come in legally.
Exactly. And there you go. That shouldn't be that hard to understand. That all. I mean, that shouldn't be hard to understand at all, but now we're going to be feeding and clothing how many millions more, perhaps. And Johnson & Johnson ordered by FDA to throw away 60 million COVID vaccine doses after
possible
contamination.
I saw that, and you know what? They were all from Baltimore again.
They were. That's it, all from Baltimore, yes. Yes. said that the faculty that was shuttered after the FDA inspection uncovered unsanitary conditions and other problems in April. So 60 million and 10 million has already been shipped to other countries. How did they admitted they don't know whether they're any good or not. How are they going to tell?
They're not going to tell.
No, they're not.
They're not going to tell.
No,
they're not going to look.
Million.
They're just going to shoot it into their arms. That's a lot.
That's all they can do, yes. It is a
so
lot.
It makes you, so it also makes
million.
You wonder about the ones that they've already given.
Oh, yeah, of course. And how many millions in this country has taken them over the last 6, 8 months.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. Now, we've got one last one here, and I like the way it starts out.
You're not going to have time.
Oh,
what'd you say?
Well, time. I see that. Oh, go on it. All right. Oh, old ship, S-H-I-P.
Oh. I was
going
to say, what'd you say?
Two passengers on a fully vaccinated cruise got caught COVID while they were on a cruise.
I saw that.
Okay.
Hey,
there you go.
We're out of time. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, be safe. Good night, and God bless.
Dreams, I have a plan. If I'm not really well.